Welcome to the Jesus Week Movement radio broadcast, where we bring you voices from the front lines of faith. From boroughs to blocks, we highlight the work of those who are saturating their cities with the love and message of Jesus. And today is a very special show with a very special guest. Hello, everyone. I'm Mick Richards.
Hello, and I'm Pastor David Bidell, and I'm real excited to have a very dear friend and co-laborer in Christ with us on the show today, Detective Christian Guidi. He is the president of the Police Officers for Christ Fraternal Organization for the NYPD. He's here representing himself, not the NYPD, but we're so excited to have you here today, Christian. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited. Looking forward to having an awesome conversation with you guys.
Amen, amen. And we kind of first met, I believe, when I saw you and your worship team leading worship at a National Day of Prayer event in Queens.
Yes.
Right. Yes, right?
About 2 years ago.
Yes, and I was like, I was awestruck because that team was hot. I mean, that was amazing and talented, but the beauty, the passion that exuded from you guys was just so beautiful, and it filled the room with joy and hope. It just struck me, the worship team from the NYPD. It's like an unthinkable thing to me, let alone everyone else in the city. Can you share a little bit about the amazing wonder that the Police Officers for Christ movement is?
Amen. So, you know, just going back to that day of prayer, mm-hmm. right? We got to focus on identity. You know, mm-hmm. when people see the uniform, that's the first thing they see. But before we put on that uniform, you know, we're children of God. And that relationship with God is what ultimately drives us in our decision making, in our lifestyle, and how we think. And so you see the uniform, but prior to that, you know, putting on that uniform, we're worshipers. And so I think that's where the impact of the worship lies, not in the uniform, but the heart of the person wearing that uniform.
Mm. Amen. And how important it is that that those who bear such an important responsibility and the authority that police officers have are under the authority of Christ. Right? If you're under the authority of yourself, things can be difficult because emotions get so out of control sometimes in situations. But to be under the authority of the Christ as a police officer, and also to be able to share his love with fellow police officers, that's such a unique calling. Can you share a little bit about the calling of how you operate as the Police Officers for Christ and how that's impacted the 30 to 32,000 police officers in New York City?
Well, it's amazing privilege to be part of this organization. So, you know, Police Officers for Christ was founded in 1977 by retired police officer Gerald Francis, who went on to be with the Lord last year, last June. And we honored his life and legacy at One Police Plaza later on in the year in October. And we had his family come down from Florida. And I know you were there, Pastor David, and you had a chance to speak.
I was friends with him as when I was a kid growing up.
Yeah,
he was a member of my church, and I grew up with the family. So that was a beautiful connection for us, you know.
Right. So when you think about God taking ordinary people to do extraordinary things, this is Jerry's life, right? Jerry Francis was an ordinary man, and you know, hearing about his life through the lens of his family, his sons and daughters, you hear about an imperfect man, right? A man who wasn't anything near what we would call ideal. None of us are, right? In the eyes of God, the Bible says all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. So this ordinary man has an encounter with Jesus Christ, and his life takes a turn that has a ripple effect that is affecting the department till this day. Mm. His yes to God has trickled and has a ripple effect that now we see hundreds, thousands of men and women that have gone through the New York City Police Department with support, with an opportunity to meet Jesus mm-hmm. within the NYPD through this organization. So it's wonderful. Jerry, when he started doing what he did, he had no idea what it would become. Mm-hmm. He simply, in his heart, he wanted to bring together all Christian cops. Mm-hmm. And,
it used to be called Cops for Christ. I remember that.
Called Cops for Christ.
Yeah.
And so his family shared how they would sit at the table. And back then, there was no internet. You know, it wasn't like you could send a mass text. Everything was sending old school letters, mail, right?
Yeah.
So he had his children at the dinner table, licking stamps, folding papers, and sending it out to all the precincts to say, hey, if you're a Christian officer, we want to meet, and we're going to meet at this location on this day. And long and behold, right, many years later, this organization is still standing strong. Our mission is to continue to lift up the name of Jesus and share the gospel with all the members of the New York City Police Department, both uniform and civilian. And we're seeing what God is doing. We're seeing revival. We're seeing lives being touched. We're seeing homes that are being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Marriages being restored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is healing the sick. We've seen the Lord truly put his hand over this department, and his grace is present. It's ever present. So we're grateful for this fraternal organization where Christian officers have a home within the New York City Police Department.
Now, you mentioned something very interesting to me. That is the focus on identity. Before the officer puts on that uniform, focusing on the identity of Christ. I always ask, I think about the question, who do you say I am, right? Mm. And so we all have to answer that question, but I always ask that question back to Jesus through prayer. Jesus, who do you say I am? Because I want to become that person. And so I like that you mentioned focusing on that identity before the uniform comes on. But I have a question. What about the identity after the uniform comes on? Can you speak a little bit to some of the challenges that some police officers may have to deal with because of the perceptions of that uniform in some of our neighborhoods? What are some of the challenges of that, and how are you trying to change some of those perceptions?
Well, there are several perceptions that come with the career. There's a lot of scrutiny in law enforcement throughout the nation. So if we're going to get into the humanity behind policing, we're talking about individuals that, are part of the community. They reside in these communities. They, a lot of them live in the five boroughs and near New York City as well, you know, in the outskirts, some in Long Island, Nassau, Suffolk, you know, upstate, Westchester, Orange County, Rockland, but they're here. And they're here a lot of times, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12-hour shifts. They spend more time in these neighborhoods than they often do sometimes in their homes, right? Mm. Policing historically has always been scrutinized. And I think with social media now, there are a lot of narratives that get pushed and people haven't had an opportunity to have a conversation. You know, you watch a video, a 10-second video, 20-second video, and you cast judgment based off of that small clip without having the full picture. Mm-hmm. And the same way no one wants to be, prejudged, right? You want your opportunity to be able to have a conversation and say, hey, well, this is what actually happened. And look, I can tell you the vast majority of police nationwide have a heart for service. Mm-hmm. You know, these are people that will take the shirt off their backs and give it to anyone in need. They want to see these neighborhoods where they police and patrol that the quality of life improve. They want people to feel safe. They want people to know that they're there for them, to serve them. So it's a challenging career, you know, it's a challenging career. And talking about the identity of these officers, right? Like sometimes they bring the stress home, you know, they'll bring the stress home. And you had a hard day, you saw something, imagine walking into a scene of a child that has gone through a traumatic incident, a child that's been abused or elderly that have been abused. Like imagine just having elderly parents or having a child yourself, and you respond to the scene of a job, a difficult job, and now you come home with that weight. It's not easy. It's not easy. Not everyone will know what that's like.
Well, just a follow-up question to that, what are some of the initiatives or programs that police officers are doing in some of these communities to connect with the families that may have perceptions that are wrong, to let them know that they're there for their protection. They're there to protect them, and they care about them.
Well, now we would get into what are resources within local precincts, right? You have your domestic violence officers that focus on checking in on these families that are going through domestic violence. You know, you have your youth coordinating officers that have a focus on the youth, and they work closely with the schools, and they're monitoring the growth and the performance of children. And if there are some kids that may be off to a bad start, there's always a way to for early intervention, right? Before they get caught up in the system. These officers have a heart. I know officer that works in the Bronx, and this officer, she's starting a program there for boxing for these kids in her own free time, right? She's partnered up with a local boxing gym, got the owner involved, and they said, hey, we want to sponsor a couple of these kids so that, you know, three times a week, we're going to donate an hour so they could come here and learn how to box and have an outlet to, you know, be able to release that stress. You know, these young kids, a lot of times, all they need is someone to believe in them and an environment that fosters their opportunities to grow. Someone that says, hey, I see more in you than you may see in yourself right now. And they have an opportunity to not become a statistic. And there's officers that see the need and are addressing it. But these stories don't often get reported.
No, only bad news gets reported. And it's unfortunate, and I think one of the challenges for the police officers in our city and across the nation are, just as a medical doctor only sees sick people, police officers see only people in severe crisis, not just minor, but severe crisis, and it puts you in a position of, you know, the Lord even calls himself a defender and a protector. But when you're in that position, then there's always going to be crisis. There's always going to be something very difficult. So I just want to commend you and the police officers of our city for stepping into a very difficult situation, knowing that your career would put you in this position to be in the middle of the most dangerous situations in our city. But it reminds me of the story on Green Mile. If you've seen the movie Green Mile, where I think it's John Coffey is the giant, you know, who's a healer. He's got this capacity to heal others, and he's holding two girls that were murdered, and he's trying to heal them. So he's holding them, and he with all his heart, he's trying to heal them, but they die in his arms. And so he's accused of being the murderer. And I feel that that's an incredible picture of sometimes when you stand in the gap in the middle of the crisis. You know, obviously there are some police officers that are corrupt, and there are plenty pastors that are corrupt, and there are plenty, you know, teachers that are corrupt, you know, but as you said, the vast majority are noble and are doing that, but they're standing in a very difficult position between life and death. So we just want to commend you. And my experience with police officers in Staten Island has been extraordinary. Like everyone I've worked with on the North Shore, whether it's community police or street cops, they have been gentlemen and have been partners in community healing. So so we've partnered together in Times Square, and I want to talk a little bit about that because that's very exciting. But in Staten Island, we've been seeing that as the church works in partnership with the police, we are saying, why don't we all I shared this in the other show, but we call it Kevlar. That Kevlar is the thread that stops bullets. It's the first bulletproof vests were made of, but a thread can only stop bullets when it's woven together. So we've been really working together to weave together clergy and police, teachers and the DOE, the Department of Education, and political leaders and others in Staten Island, and even the students in Staten Island are coming together to weave what we call a bulletproof sanctuary over our most vulnerable communities. So in Staten Island, we've been able to work together with the police all last summer to do festivals where they would block off the streets for us in four of the most dangerous streets in Staten Island. The streets will be blocked off, and the churches brought in festivals and parties and kids clubs. And it was the safest summer in the history of the 120 precinct last summer. It was the one, I think there were no shooting. Nobody got shot in the 120 for the first time in the history of the 120 precinct last summer. So we're seeing that as we all work better together, it also alleviates the pressure on the police officer to be everything, because it's we're all meant to work together in trying to heal what's broken in our communities.
Yeah, and you bring up a really good point, because we're talking about Acts 1-8 strategies. This is a saturation and transformation movement and a radio show, and we're really looking at Acts 1-8 strategies to help heal communities, and partnerships is a big part of that. So based on what Pastor David just shared, from your perspective, can you share the power of faith-based partnerships with the police department and churches and community leaders?
Well, I'm glad you said faith-based, because as Pastor David was speaking, the first thing echoing in my heart was faith. You have to believe. Imagine a institution that stands for a mission that they don't believe in. You know, the Bible says faith is the certainty of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the Bible also says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So in our mission, and the Bible talks about the authority, the governing authority, that ultimately it comes from God. You know, there has to be an acknowledgement that this belongs to God. The city belongs to God. We're God's people. Yeah. We have a duty and a responsibility to walk worthy of the calling. Who called us? God called us. So we're not simply putting on the uniform or going out to these communities because we say so. It's literally answering the call that God has given us to serve and to protect. And with that comes duties and responsibilities that yes, are challenging, but, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? So there's this ability to see that even in the midst of the storm and the trials and the evil that exists in the world, God is greater. Greater is he who is with me than he who is against me. We are fighting not just a literal fight against evil, but it's a spiritual battle. And a lot of the things that people don't see behind the scenes, when you're praying, when you're covered, you know, and you're washed in the blood of Jesus, and you walk into a place just saturated with the Holy Spirit, you're able to see the miracles that only God can do. And so we hear all of these testimonies of officers that have been in some very dangerous situations, and they say, man, I don't know how I made it out of there. But then looking back in hindsight, it's like God was with me the entire time. And it's so important that as we build these community relationships, right, we're leading with grace, we're leading with love, because what we're giving to the community is what God gave us. And the Bible says if you love God, you only love God because he first loved you, right? So you're able to love others, you know, because the love is coming from a source other than ourselves. Man, if it was in me, it would run out. You know, when you got to go back to the same issue day after day, it depletes you. You know, you get tired. You're like, man, well, when is this going to change?
The river runs dry.
But then you look at people that persist. You look at people that you're like, how are you still doing this? Like with the brokenness around you, with the policies, with the politics, you get into all of these things that'll break you down day after day, and yet they stand strong. Yet they are not wavering. They haven't given up. Up because what's in them doesn't come from them. Faith is a gift from God. So it's so beautiful that God has gifted us the ability to believe, the ability to see beyond the pain, the tears, the evil, and know that God is greater than all of those things. And the Bible says that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So you can look that God is still working in the midst of tragedy. God is still working in the midst of, like, pain, and it won't last forever. You know, his mercies are made new every morning. So I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged to know that as we walk on this journey of life alongside our communities, we're part of these communities, and we know that God is not done working in our communities, and we want to continue to be the vessels that God uses to bring about change.
Amen. Amen. And I'm excited to serve together with you again in Times Square. We're going to be there this May 31st for our big Jesus Week celebration in Times Square. And the Police Officers for Christ worship team will be performing and just sharing love. I think you're going to be speaking and just sharing the love of Christ. And tell us a little bit about what that experience was like for you. Last year, we served in Times Square together. How did your team experience that? And because we all loved it. It was so powerful and beautiful.
It was amazing. I got to tell you, being in the heart of the city, coming together on that stage, the energy. Times Square is always, you know, a great place, man.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in Times Square, but we were so glad to be able to worship and see lives being touched. You know, people were stopping. People were like, man, what's going on here? You know, and they would stop and they would receive. They would receive.
Yeah.
You know, I think about the hunger that people have, right? Imagine when you're hungry, you're walking by and you smell something that smells really good. It captures your attention. And that's what the word of God is. It's like honey to our lips. So when you hear that word, something says, man, this message is different.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the negativity or the cynicism I'm hearing in the media. This is something that's telling me, hey, there's hope. Hey, I can turn things around. You know what? God sees me, even in the condition I'm in. Yeah, God sees you, you know, in your brokenness. God sees you in your pain. God sees you in your frustration. God sees you in your depression. He sees you in your loneliness. That's the God that we serve, a God that is reaching out to man and establishing a relationship, an eternal one with man. And so how wonderful to be able to go to Times Square and lift up the name of Jesus and represent, you know, our city, represent our police department in partnership with all these amazing organizations that want to see the love of God impact everyone in New York City.
Well, we're almost out of time, but you know, we look forward to that in Times Square. For our audience who might not be able to be there this year in Times Square to hear you speak, we'll give you the last word. Can you give us a little taste of what your message is going to be in Times Square or what you want our listeners to know the most from today's discussion?
Well, if you've listened and tuned in this far, know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you could ask and or imagine. The Bible says that God does not despise a humble and contrite heart. Doesn't matter where you find yourself right now. You could be maybe at your lowest moment in life and you feel like God is furthest from you. But I want to remind you right now that He's there. He's near. All you got to do is cry out and call out, and at once, just the same way when Peter was sinking in that water, Jesus reached out His hand and grabbed Peter at once. And all you got to do is cry out to Him, and He'll rescue you no matter where you're at. So whether you're in a patrol car and you're listening in, whether you're at home and things are not so good with the family, whether you're in a hospital bed right now and the doctors gave you a report that just shook your life, I want to let you know that God is greater than any report you've received. And His report is the only report that matters. And He has the last report for your life. And I know it's going to be a good one, because Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." So believe me, those plans are for your good, to prosper you. It's not to see you in a bad place, but ultimately that you would be saved and that your soul will prosper. You know, all the riches here on earth, listen, all of this is going to be left behind. The heavens and the earth shall pass, but His word will never pass. And He's spoken a word over your life. He's spoken life, and that you shall live and not die. And He came to give you life and life more abundantly. So open up your heart to Jesus. He loves you. He gave His life for you. He wants to know you. And in that relationship, that is the ultimate relationship that will define who you are in this life.
What an engaging conversation. Thank you so much for taking the time to come in here today. And I want to remind all of our listeners, you can go to JesusWeekMovement.org and you can see more about this Saturation to Transformation movement, the Acts 1-8 plan. All you have to do to get involved with the Jesus Week movement is sign up to have a creative outreach, and you'll receive thousands of free resources. So we encourage you to do that.
Thank you so much for joining us for the Jesus Week Movement radio broadcast. We pray that these discussions, these conversations would bless you, and that you would dream holy dreams about a city covered with the knowledge of Jesus as the waters cover the sea, about a city that comes together where churches and police and schools and leaders can come together for the healing of communities, and that there would be no sheep without a shepherd in our cities, and there would be no broken ones in our cities that aren't being reached out to with love and hope. So come join the movement. We'd love for you to join the movement. Join us at JesusWeekMovement.org. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.